Welcome to the Midwest Scrubcast. I'm Emily Rastel, and I'll be your pilot for the party bus today. Joining us in the gunner slot is Clint AC Face Houston.
Hi, hello. And joining us in the crew slot is the Midwest Scrub himself, Dan Peterson.
Hello.
You're really thinking, like, how can I screw this up?
I just see it in your face. To do.
I just see it in your face.
Like it's barely an inconvenience.
Yes. Anyways, joining us with the snuggling is Matthew Meadman Carey.
Yeah. So, as somebody that throughout most of his life has not liked alcohol, hanging with you folks, I have found more and more alcohols that I like.
Mm-hmm. Not all alcohol has to taste like complete garbage.
Yeah.
Turns out.
It doesn't have to just taste like, oh, this is hops. Do you like the taste of hops?
Because if you do, I have a drink for you.
Would you like to go out into a field and just eat this wheat? No. No, I would not.
Well, how would you like to drink this entire bottle of peroxide? No? No? Okay, rubbing alcohol? No, you don't like that either?
Oh, yeah.
Weird.
Well, huh. SOL.
Well, I guess you don't like alcohol. And I'm like, I guess I don't. But then, like, this most recent time has been mead. Mm-hmm. And this stuff is Viking blood, and it's...
Blood.
It's B-L-O-D.
Viking blood.
Apparently, I like mead.
And dude, mead is delicious.
Apparently.
There's a good reason that you like mead.
So, like, growing up, it was like, this is what I imagined alcohol to taste like, where I was like, oh, it's a grown-up drink that tastes, because I, like.
It's grown-up fruit juice.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. It's grown-up fruit juice. And when I was like, oh, clearly, you know, it's made out of grapes, you know, like, referring to wine, but it's like, oh, it should taste like, you know, grown-up grape juice.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Does not taste like grown-up grape
juice.
Does
not so much taste like grown-up grape juice.
It's like, this is so much drier. How can something wet be dry? I don't get it. It's like, when people refer to it as dry, it's like, yes, I get exactly what that means here, but... Uh-huh.
Because my mouth now hurts after drinking this stuff.
I'm having some mead right now.
Mm-hmm.
Just a little bit. Just a knuckle's worth.
Mm-hmm.
Andrew?
Yeah. Hello.
No. Hey, everybody, by the way. I'm Matt, as Dan said. We'll toss this back to Emily, the Terror Rastel.
Thank you. So,
remember
welcome
when I couldn't
to
say
the
your name.
Yeah, yeah. That was
that
a thing.
Was a thing wasn't
that
it?
Was a
yeah.
thing.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like the first like few episodes, it's like
the West Alley.
Uh huh. Uh huh.
Okay.
What were some of the variants?
I don't remember. Like,
I think a lot of times you just kind of went Rassel, or like, or
yeah,
you like
Rassel.
Rassel. Rassel
with
yeah.
No tea,
yeah. I think you just kind of left the T out a few times. Yeah.
Rassel, like, you know,
wrestling,
like the people on TV when they, you know, the big sweaty men hug each other. Wrestling.
Yeah.
That's not wrestling. This is wrestling.
Yeah.
But here we are.
Uh-huh.
I have grown as a human being. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, welcome to an episode. This
will be an episode.
that is what this is. I forgot where we're supposed to be starting.
Things to talk about.
I mean, there's stuff, basically games that we've been playing.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
This is the just, you know.
Oh, this is the BS round.
Yeah, this is the BS round. Just shoot the things.
We
shoot
went
the shoot.
To a Spartan race.
Oh, yeah, you guys did. I didn't.
We have not recorded since then?
No.
No, we have not
that
recorded
last
since then. Yeah.
That was last weekend.
Yeah. So it wasn't that long ago.
It feels like so much longer ago.
It does.
It does feel like a long time ago, but... My butt still hurts from it, so, you know.
That's...
Do tell.
My
what kind of Spartan race
Maximus
were you going to?
Sore from those freaking hills.
Oh, the hills. Okay.
Yeah, so this Spartan race is kind of an interesting story, actually. More so than other Spartan races, perhaps, that we have been to. Because it was... Definitely difficult. It seems to have been generally acknowledged as one of the more difficult Spartan races of the last X number of years or something like that. It's on a ski slope place. You know, it's in a place where The hills are very hilly.
The hills were quite hilly. Yes.
So this was the Cincinnati, Ohio Spartan race that just happened for us a week ago, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, yeah. And boy, was that interesting. So the hills, there were very steep hills. And I mean, like, so luckily when we went through it, it wasn't raining or anything. And so we were able to, you know, clamber up and down the hills reasonably well. Yeah. But apparently Dan had found a video of like the next day when it was raining, and there were people just literally like, so there's this one particular hill that was like the longest uphill that you had to go on, the at least on the 5k part of it. I don't know about the other parts, but the 5k part that we did, there was this one hill that was the steepest hill you had to do and the longest hill you had to do, and it took us like several like stop, we had to like go a ways and then stop and then go a ways and then stop because it was just this crazy steep long hill. Everybody was
stopping,
everybody was going and stopping, nobody was just like running straight up. It was like,
I would like to know the angle of that hill, because like,
ew, the angle was insane.
The angle was quite
nuts. Like a 60 degree angle.
Oh yes. I mean, it was it was one of those where like you're walking and you might as well just lean forward just a little bit and your hands are already touching the ground. Like it was
like it's a ski slope, you know. Like I wasn't there, but when I imagine a ski slope, it's slopey.
It's
it is heck and sloped.
And they decided to weave up and down the hill for the, you know,
for the race.
They made an outline of a Spartan warrior.
Yes, they did make an outline of a Spartan warrior, and
that you had to carry a sandbag up and down.
Yeah, that was the other part. So they had this part, where they like made you zigzag, you know, on the side of a hill. You had to go like up the hill and around to make the top of the Spartan head. And then you had to do a couple of zigzags in the middle in the other direction to make the middle of the Spartan head design. And so you're just going like, you know, up a steep slope, down a steep slope, up a steep slope, down a steep slope, up a steep slope, down a steep slope. And this is all supposed to be while carrying a sandbag. I, for one, was not carrying a sandbag, which is a good thing because I don't think I would have made it through otherwise. But also the reason I wasn't specifically was that there were so many people backed up in this, because it was so difficult to like move through, especially with a sandbag on your shoulders, there was just like a traffic jam in this area. There weren't enough sandbags. There were so many people crammed into this traffic jam of this one area that they were out of sandbags.
Yeah. So Clint and I shared a sandbag.
Yeah.
I took it on the ups. He took it on the downs.
This is very kind of you, Clint. It really help him out.
Yes.
I mean, like, honestly,
I assume it was still a problem. Yeah.
Oh, no, it was still brutal. It was one of those, like, it was because his shoes suck.
And yeah,
like,
that was the other problem.
He would not have made it.
Yeah.
Trying to carry a sandbag up the hills, I don't think. Like, the shoes were just.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. My shoes had no
grip. I want to talk about getting. Dan, you're my shoe guy.
Okay.
So, I want to talk about hiking shoes at some point. Not necessarily on the cast, but.
I mean, we could, though.
Yeah, I mean,
It is content.
Well, we did all just go buy hiking shoes, you know, one day.
Yeah,
and you were invited to go buy
hiking
shoes.
You probably don't want to get the kind of hiking shoes that we got, though.
I don't want to get hiking boots.
No, they didn't.
Ours were not boots. No, ours were shoes. They're like tennis
shoes. Anyways.
Okay.
More versatile. Yeah.
Okay.
I kind of wish, like, okay, so not that I am not going to need the hardcore trail hiking shoes for certain situations, but I also really need a new pair of
running normal trail running tennis shoes.
Because we've been going on hikes. And then I've been using my old running shoes, which are running out of padding, you know, like they're getting more and more worn. So
I mean, that's what mine were. Like, they were the ones I'm using for Spartan races. Because you go through so much mud, I don't care about them. But these are really old running shoes that I used to run on concrete, and so there is just nothing left. They're slicks.
Clint and I both had slick bottom shoes because we're just using our old cruddy shoes, and like
you don't want to get your nice shoes muddy.
Yeah, exactly.
So I actually found it easier to kind of like ski down the hills.
Yes, I was going
to
say that.
My feet were so slick.
Yes.
I could squat down
and
slide down
those
a hill.
Are slick.
There's no tread. There's like zero tread on the bottom.
I would like to point out that, Emily, your hand gestures as you were describing the up and down. Will really help people out.
Yeah. Which is making the Spartan describing it. She was describing it to us, and then she's also showing me her shoes. So
yeah,
this is good quality.
Good quality radio visual content. Yes. Yes. Anyways, so hard Spartan race, but we did it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We did.
I mean, some of us did.
I think that every other Spartan race that I've done, like not running it, just walking and taking my time, we've done it in like an hour and 30 to hour and 40 minutes for the 5K.
Mm-hmm.
This one took just under 3 hours.
Yep. I was 2 hours and 56 minutes was my official time.
Yeah.
And which was a problem for me in the sense that I sunburn easily.
Oh, yeah.
And so I did put sunscreen on, but I did not reapply as much as I should have because, like, I didn't.
Well, you didn't think you'd be
out there. I didn't think I'd be out there that long. Yeah. Well, right? Like, I mean, I think technically we had it in the bag. Like, so had I thought about it, I could have put more on, but, like, I wasn't even thinking about it because, like, I was just like, oh, this will take an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours. I'll be fine. No. I mean, I didn't get super burnt. I only just got a few little spots, really. But actually, my legs was the worst. Mm. But, like, yeah.
Got some new winglings. Yeah.
Burned mm-hmm. and peeled across my forehead.
Uh-huh.
One little strip.
One little strip on your forehead, yeah.
No sunscreen. Everything else was just fine. Uh-huh. One little strip on top of my forehead.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Burned.
Crispy.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. We on this half of the podcast are blessed with good skin
tans.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I do not.
So but on the other half of the podcast, uh-huh. the Aryan race.
Yeah.
We're a little ghostly over here.
Uh-huh.
I can go out.
I was like, going to say, you look like you could tan a little bit better.
I have this weird thing where, like, I redden, but then it just goes away.
Yeah.
I can tan a little bit, but not much.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It takes a lot for me to try to tan because I've worked jobs where I'm outside all summer long, and I am still pasty white, even though I'm outside in shorts and a t-shirt all summer long.
Yeah. That being said, he didn't put sunscreen on, and he got a little burnt, but he was, like, fine.
Yeah.
I would have been...
Crispy.
I would have been... Had I done what he did, that all without sunscreen, I would have been, like, in torturous pain. Yeah. Like... Like the few spots on my back where I just like got missed, you know, when I was applying sunscreen. I mean, they were very red.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Other than the, you know, treacherous hills and complaints, it was really fun and it was a good time.
Uh-huh.
One of those weird Spartan races are just one of those weird things that, like, while you're doing it, it's grueling and hard and you're like,
Why am I doing this?
Yeah. And then afterwards, you're like, that was fun.
I probably mentioned this before, but I've heard it referred to as a difference between type 1 fun and type 2 fun.
Yeah.
That type 1 fun is something that you're doing, and while you're doing it, you're thinking, boy, this is a really good time. I'm enjoying this. And type 2 fun is something that you look back on like a week later, and you're like, yeah.
That was fun.
Yeah, that was great. I should do that again.
Yeah. You know?
But you need that buffer.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well.
Yeah.
So that's transition.
That's Spartan. Yeah, that's Spartan racing. So
there was other things you wanted to talk about.
We have other topics. We're not done.
That's it for this episode of the
Nonsense
Scrubcast. So hope you click those buttons. And...
Oh, did we want to talk about hiking shoes to bore people?
I mean, gosh, what should I do? Just go to Big River again and say, like, I want hiking shoes?
If you're looking specifically for, like, hiking shoes or shoes that you can run on a trail, then yeah, just go to Big River or Fleet Feet and tell them you want some trail running shoes.
It's more like, when we've been going on Lewis and Clark, that's basically what I'm thinking. And then,
honestly, if you continue to run, I would highly suggest you get into trail running because it is very fun.
Yeah. Well, I'm not running currently because probably have to see a doctor for my foot.
Oh, that's right. You are having foot problems.
Yeah. I gave it another week and the bottom of my foot still hurts. So I'm going to call the podiatrist that surgered on my other foot. So.
Right on.
Isn't that a children doctor?
That's a PD.
That's pediatric. A pediatrician. Oh, pediatrician. I understand. Yeah. Podiatry and pediatry.
Yeah. Yeah.
I get it.
Like, why are you going to have a child doctor? Little 12-year-old
because
doctor
children
operate on your foot.
Children have feet too. I don't know if you know this, but no. See a podiatrist because, like, so at one point,
it's a joke.
I fractured a bone in my foot. The narvicular foot. The narvicular bone in my foot, and it hurt a lot, but it was so...
I've heard fractures do that.
Yeah. So, like, they originally thought it was a sprain because they, like, two different people x-rayed it, and two different people were like, I don't see a break, so it's just a sprain. Just walk it out. So, you know, it's like six weeks, and I'm like, this still... really, really hurts. And then I went to see the specialist and he x-rayed it and he was like, all right, well, I don't see a break, but here, let me push right here. And I'm like, yeah, he was like, okay, what I think has happened is you have fractured, you just have a very clean fracture of your navicular bone. It's just, you know, so straight that it doesn't look like it's broken in the x-ray. Turned out that's what it was. So they removed, you know, a piece of bone and some, you know, little fragments, and I walk normal now. But this just feels like I got a bruised bone on the bottom of my foot or something, and maybe that's what it is. But I've still been going out for 5K walks, and maybe that's not what I should be doing. But I want to continue to lose weight, so I'm continuing to do it. Because the pain's at like a 1 out of 10, but I don't know. I'll see the doctor and see what he says.
Yeah. Anyway.
Anyway.
So we don't really have any X-Wing content in our lives right now, but we have been playing other games.
Content in our lives,
yeah. Speaking of running up and down hills, that kind of works with bug squashing.
Oh, sure. That's almost a transition.
almost a transition.
I mean, we could announce it as such.
I mean, Clint kind of did, but then we didn't do it.
Yeah,
I tried.
Yeah, okay.
We transitioned into talking about feet stuff. We're transitioning into talking about the hottest and latest video game.
Is it the hottest latest?
I think it's the hottest latest video game that all the Twitchers are streaming now. I don't know. I don't watch them.
I don't watch those things.
So there's been a, I want to say, alpha release of sorts for a Starship Troopers themed game.
Horde mode.
Why would you refer to it as an alpha release? Like it's
because it's not finished game.
Yeah,
finished release. It's a pre-release. It's still technically a pre-release because they are adding things and fixing things, and it's not 100% done. So you get the alpha, beta, and pre.
Okay, so
this is my confusion.
Oh, I see. So
alpha in the Greek alphabet comes before beta first.
I get this, but like, usually I've never heard of anybody ever refer to anything as an alpha release.
Okay,
so
that is
usually alpha releases happen to a closed community, and you hear about this game, you sign up for it, and you get part of the alpha testing, and then they released it to the public as a beta.
Okay.
This one just went straight to the public. As far as we know, there might have been an alpha testing. Yeah. We don't know about it.
But
as far as we know, we're alpha.
It feels so rudimentary that I would call it an alpha. That's the only reason I said alpha. It may technically be what one would call a beta release. I don't know.
So I did this with another game that did that. They posted like, hey, if you would like to try out this game, we're still in testing. Sign up here.
No,
and
video game. Yeah.
This was another video game, and I
just sent you to video game.
I didn't even know that. Why haven't you mentioned this?
And I played it for a little bit in their alpha mode. It was awful, and so I stopped playing it because
it
was awful. And then they fixed some things, and then they closed down the alpha testing, and then went live to beta testing and actually selling their game.
Yeah. Okay. So probably this is a beta. Yeah. I'm probably misusing
this
the
is probably
term
beta.
Alpha.
That was my source of confusion.
I just was like, I'd never, like, I've heard of beta releases fairly regularly, but an alpha release.
Yeah.
So just asking the internet. Uh-huh. Alpha release is usually used to test features and functionality, while beta is typically bugs and other things.
There like are that. Bugs.
Yeah, there are plenty of bugs in this game. It is a continual joke that is made. Uh-huh. Like, there's so many bugs in this game.
So if you know what Starship Troopers is,
then you know there are bugs.
And you understand that there's bugs. If you don't know what Starship Troopers is, go watch Starship Troopers.
Which ones?
I mean, go watch the first one.
The
Come
first
on.
One
go,
at the very least.
You only need to watch. You only really need to watch the first one. The I first believe one, there's yeah. like five or seven. I don't know. I've only seen a couple.
Yeah.
But the first one is
I've only seen
what
first.
You need to see
yeah.
to mm-hmm. understand.
Where is our yeah. intern? Who was our intern? Oh, Travis.
Travis, yeah.
Travis was our intern. Travis,
he's on the other side of the planet.
Yeah. So anyway,
maybe
it's on Steam. If
chances
if you,
are, yes,
it's on Steam, and I think only PC right now.
Yeah, probably. Mm-hmm. Which, I mean, it's fine. Uh-huh. But anyway, so the concept is that there's two different game modes. You have to play one game mode enough times before it unlocks the other one for you.
Level up.
Which makes sense because it gives you the idea of what you need to do. So, like, the first game mode is you are airdropped in onto planet Klyndathu.
It's planet Valaka, actually.
Oh, I thought it was Klyndathu, and then Valaka was like, oh, I guess it wouldn't make sense that there would be a city called Valaka. But but okay, so you're
it's all part of the Klyndathu wars, though.
Yeah,
I don't know,
Klyndathu is I think the home planet. Valaka yeah. is the other planet. Okay, so anyway.
I don't know all the lore. Yeah. You could probably watch a YouTube video that would explain all the Starship Troopers lore if you don't feel like watching
yeah.
the movie.
Yeah. So you land. You're airdropped in on this planet, uh-huh. and then you have to fight, like, when you first land, you have to secure a point and then fight off a couple waves of bugs, and then, by bugs, these are, like, 2 meter tall bugs, maybe
giant
3 meter tall.
Yeah.
Giant arachnids, yeah. So, you fight them off, they come from under the ground because they're burrowing, you know, mm-hmm. creatures, and, you know, they pop up that way, you fight them off, there's up to 16 people in your.
I was just gonna say we actually probably didn't specify that this is a cooperative
yeah.
game,
team based yeah.
game. Yes, where you just get thrown into a lobby with you know 16 up to 16 people,
yeah.
And you all work together to do things.
Yeah, to secure these points. So like you secure a point, that's the first thing, and then you're given a different objective. You know, you get a supply drop, and then you go to the next objective, which is like either
yeah.
mine some ore or yeah. gas or secure the like the radio
repair generators.
Yeah,
I don't know. There's a bunch of different
yeah, so just
things. Yeah.
And so you do 2 more objectives like that. And then each time you get a supply drop so you can re-up your ammo. And then you go to this abandoned city that was taken over. I say city. It was probably just a
like
fort.
It's a fort. Yeah.
It's a mm-hmm. fort,
fortress area.
Yeah, which I imagine like just in general for like terraforming, you know, like whenever somebody lands on a planet, I imagine like your first setup is going to look like a fort no matter what.
Pretty much,
you know,
yeah.
But
a little fortress area.
Yeah. So you go there and then there's a phase where like you can build.
All
you,
of a sudden it turns into Fortnite.
Yeah.
And you can build.
You
build
can,
walls,
you build, a,
build
yeah,
turrets,
build walls and turrets and towers,
and bunkers,
for make a base.
Yeah, you make a base and you're protecting this, I guess, power generator
something
and
like
a
yeah.
mining equipment thing. That's I don't remember exactly what it's doing, but you're supposed to protect that point for
a
few minutes.
It is scanning the tunnels
yeah.
For the bug hives and stuff, and you're supposed to protect it because it's making shockwaves into the ground
yeah.
and stirring up the horde.
Yeah.
And so there's just a massive, huge, endless wave of bugs for
yeah.
a certain amount of time while you're protecting
yeah.
it as it's scanning.
So, interestingly enough, that was what Fortnite was originally like.
Oh,
it was
yeah.
it was a horde mode game.
Oh,
where it was
okay.
like you'd build walls
weird,
and then
I've never seen that.
And when people would attack you.
What kind of mode did you say it was?
Horde?
Horde. Okay.
Horde mode.
I just
yeah.
walked back into the room and Matt's talking. Okay.
About horde mode. So and so there's like different types of bugs. There's the worker style, and then there's like the one that's mini version of it. I can't remember what that one's called, but
oh,
And then there's
little drones, warriors.
Drone, that's probably what it is. Yeah. So you got warrior, drone, and then those are like the ones that you're going to encounter the most. And then there's the gunner. Is that what it's called? Yeah. So like they're broader, so you can see them better. But man, they can tear you up if you don't notice them immediately, because they're the only ranged combat. Well, no. Okay, I take that back. They're the most direct range combat one, and they appear more than what is eventually grenadiers, which are also in the movie. And they're these gigantic bugs that shoot plasma out of their butthole.
Plasma artillery shells whatever, basically. Yeah.
Plasma artillery shells.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when one of those catches you off guard and you don't realize that you get hit, you're immediately down because you're like, oh, I just blew up. Yeah. And then there's also the tigers, which they're called tigers because they're striping. Stripey. But they're like a worker unit, only big, and they can do a lot of damage and take a lot of damage. But yeah, you're defending, repairing your base, and you're just trying to last until you can until the evac happens. The scanning gets done, and then you have like, what is it, like 2 minutes to get to evac?
3 minutes, maybe?
No, it's like 2 minutes.
Is it two? Or yeah, maybe two and a half, something? I don't something, know. But yeah.
It's some really short amount of time. Yeah. And then the evac will randomly spawn.
Yeah. Sometimes it's like right there, and other times it's like, guys, we got to start running now because it's going to take us a minute and 50 seconds to run to it.
Yeah. You have to run across the entire map while bugs are just swarming you.
Yeah, and they're spawning, like they're coming up from under the ground and everything. And it's just like, okay, all right, well, I guess I'll go now.
Yeah. But yeah, it's a fun game. I enjoy
great
that
co-op
it's
game, yeah.
Yeah, I enjoy that it's co-op because I enjoy co-op games co-op in general. Games so yep. Yeah.
So we here at the Scrubcast were able so far to get a party of up to 14 people together out of the 16.
Yeah.
And kind of be able to have everybody just talking on comms.
So smoothly.
And we were all working together and talking. That was really fun.
And those two Japanese guys. And the two Japanese guys were pulling their weight, too.
Yeah.
So,
how do you know they were Japanese?
Their names were written in kanji, so I'm assuming that they were Japanese.
Oh, mm-hmm. Just making assumptions.
Yeah. Yeah. I imagine it's a little bit harder to get your...
The intern found things.
Okay. All right.
And the answer is somewhat not straightforward. So we've got the Starship Troopers originally.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Then, well, kind of. There was also an animated series called Starship Troopers.
Really?
Oh, really?
That came 9 years before the movie.
Really? Interesting.
And then there was...
What?
I don't think it came... Maybe it was set 9 years before
the movie. No, it was released in 88. So the book was released in 59.
Yeah, yeah. The book is old. Yeah.
Is it really like obscure, like the Lord of the Rings
maybe
animated thing that
know
came out before the movies?
Like
I've never seen
the Ralph Baskin.
I've never seen those before. I want to see them.
There was another Starship Troopers animated series called Roughnecks.
Yeah,
that ran for 2 years after.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And then there was a straight to television movie called Hero of the Federation, and then direct to video. Starship Troopers 3 Marauder, Starship Troopers Invasion, and Starship Troopers Traitor of Mars.
Oh.
So.
Okay.
So there's
lots of stuff to watch.
So there's, uh-huh, there's like, what, five movies and two animated series? Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes.
We
five
should
movies
watch
and two
this
animated series. We should definitely watch all of these.
I was thinking, I'm looking at the 1988 one.
Yeah.
And it's like, this is awesome.
Okay.
It looks like it's like four or five episodes.
This.
Where is it streaming?
YouTube.
Easy.
Easy. Okay. Yeah.
Sounds like we know what we're doing on Wednesdays.
It's like it might be hard to find specific episodes, but I'm seeing episode 1, 2, and then 3. So yeah, there's 5. So episode 5, we'll have to search for episode 4.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Yeah. All right.
So cool.
Neat.
Cool. So yeah, you know, if you're into the nostalgia of Starship Troopers. And you have Steam and PC gaming, and you're into that kind of thing, the first-person
shooter
thing.
It's like $20, so it's...
Yeah, right now it's pretty cheap.
It was an easy sell, especially since I had, you know, there was a group of people that were ready to play.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know?
There is also Starship Troopers, the role-playing game. just chucking that out there.
So who do you roleplay as? The bug?
I assume you roleplay as a trooper.
I'm a brain bug.
I want to be a gunner.
Yeah. So, like, but, so went over the alien roles. In the, for the player roles, there's the, I don't even know what the classes are called. The
Assault.
There's Bastion.
Yeah. Assault, Bastion, and Operator.
Okay. So, mm-hmm. like, Assault is you're the guy with a gun, you have a jetpack, and basically your entire... I mean, I select Assault every time. So, I mean, it's like, I know this person heals me and can carry stuff, and then this person has a big gun and
I'm laughing about Bastion.
Oh, yeah. Gotcha. Sure. So... but there's the Assault, which is basically what I play, and it's you're the generic guy. You have a gun.
You have a jetpack, though.
It's pretty great to have a jetpack. And then you have a jetpack for mobility. You're the most mobile because you can your sprint is a little bit faster than the other classes, and then you have the jetpack. It's a like a
so
fly
a scout, if you will.
It's a second like a second long burst, you know, so it's not like you get to continually, you know, jet around,
but
and it
can
basically
jet
goes
up
vertical
on top of buildings and get yourself out of trouble.
Yeah. It's like, oh, I'm surrounded. Peace. And then whereas like the Bastion, when they get in trouble, they have a little like pop-up ring, like,
it's
armor.
A shield wall ring thing or that pops up around them that kind of helps them survive longer.
And also while they're in it, like, they have no recoil. So, they have, like, not initially, but after you get, like, to level 2, you unlock a LMG, heavy
huge
machine gun. And you just can shoot forever. But, man, that thing, when it's not in that ring, has some serious kick.
Super inaccurate.
Yeah, super accurate. That's the word I was going to use. No. And then what else do they have going for them?
They have heavy armor. They take less damage.
That's pretty much
it. You want to survive and have a big giant gun. You choose that one.
And then there's the support.
It's called the operator. It's basically the support.
Yeah.
It's got medic abilities.
Yeah. So it's got like an auto revive thing. They also eventually get a grenade launcher that will kick up so much dust that nobody can see what's going on.
Correct. Yes.
which I mean is a thing already because there's a bajillion bugs and like grenades, because like you can get like napalm grenades where there's fire going, and then there's also like gas grenades. So like if you got like but the grenade launcher happens more often.
It's just annoying. A constant that's flow of grenades.
I was using it the other night and Matt was just like, I can't see anything. I'm like, it's because I just popped off 9 grenades right here in this area. And they all have smoke on them.
I was like, cool. I was like, hey, there's a gunner. I can't see it anymore, so I'm just going to hide behind this rock. But it wasn't necessarily...
nothing alive in that area. I made sure.
So hopefully in an update, they'll make that a little more transparent. It gets a little misty. But also the operator, one of the things that's cool for them is like whenever you have to do one of the objectives that is
mining gas,
they can carry two of the objectives. Like, because you have to return this stuff to the base.
You have to pick up a canister and take it from one place to another place. Yeah. So you other classes that are not the operator.
I think you were right.
Can just hold
time.
One. Can hold
operators are abnormal.
They can just hold one in their hands, whereas the operator can hold two because they can put one on their back and one in their hands.
And
yeah.
Also, the other two classes, the gunner and the Bastion and Assault, they run fairly slow comparatively, because like whenever they're carrying something they run slow, where I think
the operator runs
actually runs faster with it. So even though they're carrying two, they're running faster. But you know, it's cool if your people know what they're doing. Like you'll have like two Assaults, like because they're split into various fire teams.
Four-person teams.
Yeah, you can split up into, like, four-person teams. So, like, if you have, like, two Assault, one Bastion, and one Operator, that's a good team. You know, so when we had the 14 people, it was like, okay, Cerberus team is going to go to this objective, and Ifrit team is going to go to that objective. And then, you know, the operator carries both things while everybody else basically covers, you know, and the operator also keeps everybody else alive, you know, and it's, I really enjoyed it and I am interested to see where it goes. And
They have put out a roadmap of what they're planning on doing. So at least there's that they've been like, hey, this is what we're planning on doing.
Right now the game is very simple and repetitive, like you know, we've been enjoying playing it, but you can't just play it like all the time because it gets old after a while.
A couple rounds and then be done.
There's the two game modes. One is kind of a shorter version and one is a longer version, but they're very similar in some way, in a lot of ways. So
basically I described the first game mode. The second game mode is basically you land on the planet at that base and you get objectives from there and you go to do the ore.
You're doing all of the objectives simultaneously rather than like the other mode is
not linear. Mm-hmm. Like the other one's linear. This one is you keep doing it.
Yeah, you're building a base. So the long one is you're gradually building up a base while going out from that base and getting the various different other objectives.
Picking up resources.
So you have like one squad over here and then one squad is on the other side of the map, so they can't really help each other.
It's not 16 people doing one objective.
So you have like small little squads of four here and there all over the place.
Yeah, and eventually you get to a point to where you complete the it's the gas objective because there you have to get 7 canisters of gas, and once you do that, then it starts doing the scanning,
the defend the base thing.
And then you have to defend the base, and then once that gets done, then you go to the extraction. But yeah, it's,
but they're both very similar.
They're the same thing.
They're basically the same thing, just sort of slightly different. And, you know, so it gets a little samey because, you know, it's just kind of the same thing over and over. So there's not a lot of depth to it yet, but it is also a beta release or whatever.
Yeah.
So there's still a lot of potential development.
So many bugs.
There were some really like awkward bugs, like when we first downloaded and started playing, like the thing where it wouldn't save your loadout choices.
Oh yeah, saving your loadout was kind of annoying. It would save it the entire session that you're in, but the next time you load up the game, it wouldn't be on.
It would just forget everything.
So
yeah,
if you don't remember, you would go into a game and you're like, I just have my base gun and my base handgun.
Why do I have starter stuff?
Yeah, and that's it. So
they fix that.
Yeah, I believe I fixed that. I haven't encountered it again yet. And then basically the main thing for me is, so I'm playing on a laptop, so it's not like I have like the greatest machine running it. And it's years old now, probably since like 2016. Wow. So running the game, it does it. But like the horde is there, and then if somebody like shoots a rocket and it blows up a significant amount of bugs, my computer just is like gert, gert, gert. Okay, I'm back. There's times when you lose frames and you're just like, well, I hope I'm alive at the end of this. I haven't had lag problems. Once or twice I've had lag problems, but that might have been Charter's fault as opposed to the actual game.
Yeah.
But hitting the server and coming back, I've largely not had that problem. So,
they seem to be doing a good job at squashing bugs.
Yeah.
And so.
Yeah. I really enjoy it.
If any of you are out there have the game or are interested in playing it, hit us up on our Discord and we'll see if we can get a night going where we can get a big squad going again.
Yeah. I would enjoy doing that again.
Because it'd be fun.
Again, it was really fun when we had the 14 people. Yeah. If we could hit a full 16, that'd be awesome. But like when we had 14, it was a well-oiled machine. Mm-hmm. And it felt nice working with proper villains. You know?
Most of the time, I haven't had too many issues with bad teammates. For the most part, as long as people are communicative on the team chat, it's usually pretty good.
Yeah.
I've had a couple rounds where I'm like, I gotta leave because these people are so bad at playing or just, you know, being super toxic on mic.
Yeah. So far, those have been the same people to me. I went in on easy to play the two other classes because I wanted to level them up super quick. It's that where it's like they're being super toxic and like it's like they're issuing orders. So it's like, dude, I could handle this wave by myself, I think. So it's like you're telling me what to do, and it's like, listen, I'm not going to listen to you at all, and I'm just here to learn the class.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it turns out that I like assault the best still. I do really like the auto revive on the operator, though. That mm-hmm. was really nice, where it was just like, oh, I died, and I'm back. All right.
Yeah. Yeah. It's neat.
Transition.
Yeah. Anyway, so moving from video games to physical games, in-person board games. So the latest thing that we Scrubs have been really into is Clint decided to invest.
We talked about this at one point in time.
We mentioned that you were getting it.
I think we talked about it. That was before it arrived. I mean, we talked about the fact that I think we talked about it. But anyway, so Clint decided to invest in the
Todd Howard more money.
Yeah. In the
for yet another version of
Skyrim. Yes. So there is a sort of campaign based, you know, narrative, whatever you want to call it, board game of Skyrim that was, you know, it was like a Kickstarter game found. Yeah, it was on Game Found. I don't know, a year or two ago, whenever that was. Bethesda decided to do a board game version of their beloved Skyrim.
Now we're running on the tabletop the OS.
Modifius, whatever.
What?
That's the name of the company. Is
Did they get a different company to do it? Yeah,
it's a company that makes a lot of board games.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, you know, whatever their name is.
Okay, so they licensed it to a company whose name is something we're not sure what it is. And it is a monster of a game. It came in like five boxes. Well, because Clint also, you know, got all of the expansions.
Go ahead, pronounce that if you can.
Modifius.
Yeah, it looks like Modifius.
Modifius or Modifius. I'm not sure which one.
Yeah, Modifius. Yeah.
It's got an umlaut underneath above that last U, though.
Yeah, it does. I don't know why. I'm not sure what the umlaut is supposed to convey there.
Yes, they partnered with Bethesda and were able to make Skyrim.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Skyrim, the adventure game.
yeah, and it is a monster game that has a couple of different expansions to it as well, and
it is in retail now. I have seen it at game night or
Minimart.
Yeah. Okay. Great. Yeah. So apparently you can go out and buy this. It is not a perfect board game, but. It definitely gives you the feel of Skyrim in a board game, probably as effectively as could be done, right? Yeah. Like,
so similar to actual Skyrim, if you pick magic as your main thing, you're gonna have a rough time. Which
at
is
start,
yeah. Uh-huh. That's Clint. That's Emily and Dan. Uh-huh. They are both casters, whereas I'm a bow person and Clint is a warrior type person.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
yeah.
I went the big armored,
heavy
brute. Armor, mm-hmm. just brute guy. Mm-hmm. Matt did the cheeky stealth archer.
Yeah, I'm essentially a rogue. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Everybody knows the Skyrim stealth archer.
Yeah. That's how I actually play the game. It's like, all right, I have a big sword, but I'm gonna stealth forever. And then as soon as somebody sees me, okay, now it's time to be Clint.
Casters, you know, and again, apparently this is Skyrim thematic. I have not really played Skyrim much, so I'm not the best one to speak on how it compares to the game specifically, but I did play some Morrowind back in the day, so I at least have, you know, a vague grasp of the sort of gameplay style. Definitely casters are much more difficult to figure out how to combat effectively.
Also, what helped Clint out, Clint got a companion very early on.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Which, if you're familiar with Skyrim, you can get a companion and they just help you fight. Mm-hmm. Well, that's kind of what happens here as well. And Clint got like a warrior companion as well. So they deal damage. It's a mercenary, so it actually costs some money every once in a while. But
right.
In addition to Clint just being able to dish out damage and take damage already, this companion was dishing out damage as well.
Yeah.
So it helped him out, whereas Dan and Emily are probably the ones that need companions the most, yeah. and it's only Clint and I that have happened across the...
that have come across the companions, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the other thing about this game, speaking of which, the other thing about this game is, like, there are just, like, thousands of cards... because, you know, this is a campaign game, and so, like, you know, you're working your way through a series of, you know, cards to get through the various, you know, storylines and quests and side quests and blah 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 and all that stuff. And yeah, there's a lot of cards. Yeah, so there's a yeah, lot
you
of
might be you might be doing a quest line, and it'll be like, okay, so you completed this quest, would you like card 756 or 758?
Uh-huh.
And you choose one of them. One of them might have given you a companion, and the other yeah. one leads you down a different quest path. Yeah. You don't really uh-huh. know.
So, yeah. so. I, like, one of mine was, oh, do you want to spare this guy? And I spared, it was just happened last session. Yeah. I was mm-hmm. like, I spared the guy, and I got a new companion. And it's like, well, I can only use one companion at a time, and this other one that I got much earlier is so much better. So it's nice to have him around, I guess.
And but, I've been doing quest line after quest line searching for a companion, and yeah. have yet to get
one. And nobody wants to be
and
your
I
friend.
Have two. And yeah. then Clint no has two or three. At this
yeah.
point
uh-huh. oh, the other thing about the game, it is also a semi cooperative game.
Yes.
I mean, well, it is cooperative. It's yeah. just you can do your own quest lines and storylines by yourself, but if you're having trouble or if there's a part where there's
as Emily and I have
yeah, uh-huh, yeah. yeah. you guys can meet up in the same area of the map and do dungeons together or help someone with another quest.
Yeah.
So that's kind of neat. That's mm-hmm. a neat take on the like the cooperative campaign yeah. style thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because essentially, like, the ideal of the game is you're all adventurers and running around. There's a main overarching story that's kind of pulling you all along,
yeah.
but you can pick up side quests here and there, just like in Skyrim. Here's your main quest, and then you immediately just go running off in the woods and just go pick up, like,
yeah.
a bunch of side quests to yeah. do and forget about the main quest. And so that's kind of what you do here
it,
as well.
It does have something that kind of encourages you to push on the main quest, because, like, each
mm-hmm.
Game round, so, like, you know, each player has their turn, but then you have the round, there's two... black markers. I forgot what they're actually called.
They're threat markers or
threat.
Something.
Threat tokens or something yeah. like that. I don't yeah. know what they're...
And you yeah. have to apply them to...
To active quests.
To active quests. And, like, so
and
most...
there's other things in the game, yeah. like if you fail something yeah. Or if you get killed in an encounter, it will give... It'll apply yeah. more of these threat markers.
Yeah.
And you just have to dole them out
yeah.
to...
So you have quests, and a lot of quests, I would say most quests have, like, a number on them that say four.
Mm-hmm.
It's like 3 to 4, yeah.
3 to 4 is normally where it's at, and if you get that amount on that card, you fail that quest. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, with four of us, there's enough to that we can spread those out, but I imagine the lower it gets, the more you... So, like, the main quest is something that can get those numbers on it, so it's mm-hmm. like... Well, you kind of want to push forward so you don't, you know, fail the main quest.
Yeah.
Right. You,
like,
can only,
you can go around and run around and do side quests, but you eventually do have to do the main quest. Otherwise, you'll just fail them
yeah.
just by not...
You'll just start failing
yeah,
them
start
by...
failing them by not doing them.
Yeah.
Because there is a sort of time limit, but
yeah.
it's very lenient.
Yeah, it is lenient. And again, especially with four of us, we can get rid of those black markers fairly easily.
Mm-hmm.
But... and the game is broken up into, like, chapters, and then mm-hmm. what else?
Campaigns.
So campaigns. Mm-hmm. There's well, with the base set of the game, there are two campaigns with three chapters in each campaign.
Mm-hmm.
We've finished chapter 2 of the first one.
Right, we're
correct?
In chapter 3, I believe,
we're
of the first.
We
one.
Are
yeah.
in
okay.
chapter 3 of the first campaign,
mm-hmm.
and
yep.
then. So then we will end up doing campaign 2, all three chapters, and then one of the expansions added another campaign with three more chapters.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So overall, if you get all of it, you get three campaigns with 9 chapters altogether.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a... Consider you're going to be putting in time... Like, this is...
So this
like,
has been our Wednesday night thing.
Yeah, this like is, just you're putting in sessions.
Like, uh-huh. I've just got... a giant 4-foot by 8-foot table that I built sitting in my basement, and
it is
2/3 of it is taken up with this Skyrim.
With the Skyrim game. It's one of those.
And we just leave it there each yeah. week and yeah. come back to it.
They
and play.
Do technically have a, like, save a safe state box thing, but I just don't see how that's really possible. We've left this game set up because, you know, why wouldn't you?
Uh-huh.
There's so much stuff. Like, your character has a bunch of upgrade cards
mm-hmm.
that go in their little slots, and to have to break all that down and try to put it all back out would be really chaotic. But so we've been able to do it, make it our Wednesday game. I don't know how long we've been playing. We've been playing for a few months now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We scrubs like to get together on Wednesday, do a little workout, have dinner, and watch some show. And then we come down here and play maybe an hour and a half of
a night,
every mm-hmm. Wednesday night. So, and we've been playing for a few months now, and we're not even done with the first campaign. Right. So that gives you an idea of how long this game could be.
Yeah. Depending on how much you dawdle, the game how much you do side quests, the game can be very long.
Like, I imagine you could have like a Skyrim party of a day. It's it'd be kind of like Twilight Imperium. Like, you need to set aside the whole day and, you know,
you could get through a chapter each day.
You could probably get through a chapter, you know, after playing a whole like 8-hour session of a game.
Because I think like we got through the first chapter fairly quick. We just did two really long sessions. Uh-huh. It was like a 4-hour session and a 4-hour session. Yeah. Uh-huh. But since then we've been doing hour long sessions.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
What was the other thing I was going to say? Oh, yeah. Also, one thing that protracts ours is that, again, it is harder on the magical side. Mm-hmm. So combat for Clint and I will go fairly quick because we can deal out the damage pretty quick. And the magic folk have a harder time.
Combat for casters takes forever. Because there isn't enough stuff that does enough damage. And
you're spending a lot of your actions trying to dodge attacks too.
Yes, right. So it's harder to get as much armor. Mm-hmm. So you end up having to spend actions to dodge rather than attack because you can only do one or the other each round. You can either dodge the incoming attack or make an attack of your own. And the enemy will sometimes miss, sometimes hit, you know, whatever, based on a die roll. But like, so Clint has tons of armor and he can just soak whatever the bad guy throws at him and just keep attacking, you know, every time. Whereas Dan and I keep having to stop and dodge and stop and dodge and stop and rest and refill.
And wait for the bad guy to miss. And when they miss, you finally are like, all right, finally, now I can try to shoot him.
Uh-huh. And then spend three times as much mana as what it's supposed to cost to actually get the results that you're supposed to have. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Combat as a magic user is definitely rough. It really feels like you need either a companion or there is a mechanism for summoning. Like, you can summon a temporary companion.
But like, that doesn't seem like it's been all that great.
It hasn't been amazing. I've tried to use it a little bit. It's okay, but it's not been amazing.
I think it should be now that we've gotten a lot of the lower tier.
Yeah,
that's true. Now that we've cleared out, there are like decks of like different creatures, and we've cleared out a lot of the low level ones out of those decks, and you summon also from those decks.
You level up, you kill the lower level creatures, so that you're constantly fighting harder stuff
into that deck.
So it summoning will probably scale up from here.
Because I remember like a couple, like three times in a row, you summon the same
ghost skeleton,
and just never did any damage. You were just like, well, I just wasted a turn on you.
Uh-huh.
You
know, yeah.
Instead of doing damage, I summoned this thing that also did nothing.
Yeah.
So I imagine like, okay. So maybe this was in part because of the Draugr.
We had this little add-on side quest thing that was very unbalanced, but
It is. So like there's another add-on side quest thing that we are doing, right? You know, that is inserted in, and that one actually feels like it would be okay.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been okay to do at lower levels, but this Draugr one, like, every time there's a skull result on the bad guy's dice.
Anytime, 1 out of 6, yeah.
Yeah, and it's 1 out of 6. And anytime one of those would be rolled in combat, it would spawn another Draugr. And if you and you have to beat each
you have, so that adds another enemy to the list of enemies you have to beat. Like, and typically they, especially at lower levels, you're fighting like one enemy at a time, but when you stack up multiple enemies in the same combat, it starts getting more difficult.
And whatever you summoned most recently is the only thing that you can actually attack.
And as you summon, they get progressively harder. So like
it
you would be in an
encounter real fast.
You'd roll a skull and you're like, oh crap, now I got another thing to fight, you know. And then while you're fighting that, you would roll another skull, and then another even more powerful thing would show up. So we eventually got to the point
we just house ruled it.
We just house ruled it to where it's like it can only summon one.
So that was one of the later kind of add-ons that they did in the campaign. They're like, oh, we reached this level. What are we going to give you? Random little add-on side quest things that you can do.
That has not been properly playtested.
They were probably not properly playtested. This one specifically, I mean, if they had playtested this one, they would have realized. What we realized very quickly is that it gets out of control real fast.
Probably should have been like a campaign two thing, not a chapter two thing.
Right.
Because
they were hard.
We eventually knuckled down to where we're like, okay, all four of us are going to get together and then we're going to start killing these things.
And they killed us and we lost and we were like, okay, we're house ruling it then. Only one can pop up in an encounter at a time.
Yeah.
For this specific thing. It was problematic.
But but also I feel like they now have powered level dust because like
that's true. All that Draugr fighting did kind of power level us a little bit.
A lot of experience.
Yeah,
because they were really hard bosses. Sure.
Yeah, sure.
But all in all, I really look forward to playing every week.
It's a really fun game.
I really enjoy
it. It's a fun game. It's a decent campaign. I'm a little, so things that I don't love about the game, critiques I would have. Number one is there's weirdly for a Elder Scrolls thing, there's weirdly not enough text on the cards.
To get a fully like immersive story, like, there's not enough text.
I feel like the cards, the quest stories, like the side quests are not so bad, but I feel like the main quest, a lot of times I'm just feeling like I don't know what's really going on.
It's a little vague.
It like the descriptions of what's happening in, you know, in the cards as you're reading through the story are just a little vague, especially I will say for somebody who doesn't know much about Skyrim, like all the names and the places and the all that stuff, like it, that gets confusing because I don't know all this stuff, and like I don't know, I just feel like they could have put a little more words on the cards or written them a little better. And I understand they had a lot of cards to write, and I understand.
There's a lot of text in this game.
There is a lot of text in this game regardless.
But not enough,
but
as
it
turns out.
I believe it could have been better for me.
I also think that part of the problem with that is that we are playing a week apart at times.
Sure.
There's quests that like when I come back to it, this was the guy that I found in the street that was carrying his luggage around, I failed at helping him, but he was like, well, you know, I'll just carry it myself, and then I was just his companion, you know, hanging out with him for the rest of the quest. But it's like I had to like read the I was like, your pile of completed quests, you know, like, because each quest, like, it'll progress. It'll be like, complete this card, draw X, you know.
Draw the next card,
So, like, I had to go back and, like, read the last one, and it was just like, oh, yeah, that's who this guy was. Whereas if you do probably longer play sessions, it's like, oh, yeah, this is who this person is. Mm-hmm. So the world isn't as disjointed. So that doesn't help that.
That absolutely doesn't help. But even aside from that, I felt like, because like, I don't know, I just feel like the main quest specifically in campaign one has been choppy.
Yeah.
I just have not enjoyed so much the main quest. I'm actually having way more enjoyment of side quests than I am of the main quest in this game.
As
is the Skyrim way, apparently.
The side questing is, and so that's, random that's, dungeoning is way more fun.
Yeah, that's one complaint I have. I thought there was another one, but now I've forgotten what it was. I lost it.
all in all, not very many complaints for this one. It's been very fun. We've been having a good time doing it.
I think it is
completing it all.
And I do think it is somewhat replayable. That was the other thing I was going to comment on. It's not so much a complaint. It's not really a complaint or a positive, really. It's just like, I think it is the way they've built it. I think it is reasonably replayable. It is not necessarily endlessly replayable. Yeah. But it is, there's enough cards and enough side quests and enough, you know, whatever stuff. Like, and there are some branches, like there, even within the main story quest, there are branches you can take to where like in the first quest, it's like, you know, you're trying to figure out who the bad guy is. And it's like, there actually are, I think, different paths to where like the bad guy is a different person depending on which cards you pick. So like, it's not always the same bad guy every time. Like, that's neat. You know, like, I think they did pretty well with that. It's somewhat replayable.
Yeah, and even like the main quest will progress even if you fail it. Mm-hmm. And like some side quests will progress even if you fail. Mm-hmm. Like the
like
skill challenge
forward thing. You just don't get as much reward or something.
Like you flip it over and there's a good and bad result and you're like, oh well, looks like I failed and I missed the extra experience or extra money that I would have got from this.
Or the companion, you know.
Or the companion. But yeah, no, I agree with that like, because I understand that you guys are doing your quests and I have some, like, I'm more invested in the group, you know, the main storyline quest.
Mm-hmm.
So I pay attention more to that, but I also know that y'all have quests that you're completing that I haven't in, you know, it's like, I kind of pay attention, but if I played through again, I would, you know,
you
maybe
would see
I
new
would,
stuff. Yeah.
I would get that quest and then,
yeah.
You know, I would experience it more because there's a ton and we're, you know, splitting them amongst four people right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean,
same thing with the loot. Like there's a lot of loot cards and we haven't seen them all, you know, like there's a lot of cards to go through.
Yeah. And I imagine playing just as a different class, you know, because like
that's the other thing. Yeah. When you replay,
I mean,
you want to try a different
really
class, you know,
a class. It's just you kind of choose
a different build.
Yeah, you know, and more like so so I picked a Bosmer, which is a wood elf. So it favors archery. It does an extra damage of, you know, if I shoot with a bow. So naturally, that's the path I went down. So like, I think Dan's does extra damage in
destruction spells. Yeah.
So of course he went down the destruction magic path, but he could have been a bow guy or a warrior guy, but it does make sense to pick whatever race you pick to lean into it.
Yeah, so they do have a bit of that with the in between the chapters. We can just swap out different characters if you want, or you can try to keep the same character
in between campaigns.
Yeah. Oh. Well, they tried to set up to where like you could just pull this game out and be like, we're gonna play campaign 2, chapter 2, you know, and just make a character and start playing. And they did a bit of that, so you could try out a bunch of different things if you want to. Except you would have to reorganize all those cards every time. They have the thing where it's like, oh, you've completed this card, now remove it from the game. And that happens a lot. So there's just like a massive stack of like a couple
there's
hundred
a huge
cards
discard pile,
that's
yeah.
just discarded from the game that we will have to go through and reorganize when we're done.
Hopefully we'll be nice people and help Clint and Emily, you know, reshuffle.
May not be nice people.
Yeah.
Time will tell.
Put them in order so they can redo it.
So that the person I sell it to can play it. It was a very expensive game to buy of this stuff.
So Clint got all the like mini expansions and stuff like that.
Yeah, did the all-in campaign. So there's like miniatures and all that too, rather than like cardboard tokens. A big giant neoprene mat rather than cardboard.
Yeah,
you know,
the mat's really nice.
I know, thanks.
So, you know, all that kind of thing. But it was a game that I bought with the intention of, it's a campaign, we play through the campaign, experience it all, and then sell it. Because it is way too big to go on my gaming shelf and have a home there, that's for sure. As fun as it is, as we said, it's not endlessly replayable. I wouldn't mind playing through all the campaigns, seeing all of it, and then
eventually it'll get to the point
where
where
I'm happy
well
to sell it.
I might buy it from you. I don't know.
No, that's That's fine.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I may not want all of the miniatures.
He just wants it to go.
Yeah. Want it to go.
Yeah.
But all yeah, right. Fun.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, that's the stuff we've been playing
so
lately.
So if you want to sign onto the Discord and play Skyrim with... Wait, that's not...
Wait, hold on. We can't quite do that, but, you know.
But we definitely can recommend the game. But yeah, that's the stuff we've been playing lately that's not X-Wing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess
seems good enough.
I feel like we've talked for a while.
Yeah, actually.
We have. I don't know how long because I didn't pay attention.
I mean, that's fine. That's okay. We talked until we no longer feel like talking.
I believe it's probably over an hour.
I no longer feel like talking to the people. Okay. So, you
know,
I want to go home.
You hear that, people? He's done with you.
I don't want to talk to you anymore. He's going to go home. With you.
Oh, man. Clint, I just realized you missed your opportunity to introduce Dan as Dan Qui-Gon hair.
You do have Qui-Gon hair.
I do have
Peterson.
Qui-Gon hair.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dan's been trying out a new hairstyle where, you know, it looks like Qui-Gon's kind of half ponytail thing that he wears.
Invoking your inner Liam Neeson. Uh-huh.
What's interesting is that Clint has, on several occasions, looked like Obi-Wan.
Yeah.
You know,
yes,
Ewan McGregor.
When your hair was growing out. Looked like...
Invoke some Ewan McGregor.
Uh-huh. For sure. You had definitely had that Obi-Wan style for a while. Yeah.
So, Emily is going to be Anakin, and I'm going to be Padme. All
right.
You say you're going to be Padme? Is that what you said?
Yes. You were looking at your watch.
Message. Kind of zoned out for a second, and then it hit me.
You're like, wait a second. Well, I got the darker hair. She's got the sandier hair.
Yeah, my hair is closer to Anakin's color, yeah.
All right. I mean, I guess if we're just thinking about hair.
I mean, that's kind of what we were talking about, your hairstyle.
We were talking about hair, yeah.
So, Matt, you've got quite a lot of growing out to do.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I got to shave the beard, too. Uh-huh. Yeah, I don't remember Padme having a beard. Doesn't sound right.
I feel like you probably need a crop top as well.
I could do that. I could pull that off.
Easy.
Just wait till I wear that sexy little number where she's...
We'll have to get a big kitty cat to slash your back off the bottom half of it.
I was thinking of the number, what she was wearing when she was like, we can't be together, and she's like got this like bustier.
Oh my gosh.
It's just
like,
it's the hottest thing she wears in the entire series, and that's where she's like, we can't be together. And like... That's not the one to do it in.
Or is it?
Or is it?
Depends on how sadistic you're feeling.
So before we got on that, I did actually want to mention, because of the Skyrim thing.
Okay.
Apparently there is that Skyrim mod out there that you can do multiple people.
We've never tried that, have we?
We didn't quite get that going.
No. We started getting it going. We got it downloaded on my computer, and that's about as far as we got.
Yeah.
It's called Skyrim Together.
Yeah.
There was some mod where you can... Play multiplayer on Skyrim.
I would be interested in doing that.
Yeah, same. I imagine
it's probably not as buggy as it was back then.
I was going to say, when it started, it was buggy and it would crash, but it probably still does, but it's probably got less bugs than Starship Troopers.
I still have not actually played all the way through Skyrim.
Mm-hmm. Neither have I, but I've played through the main quest, but I don't think playing through the main all of Skyrim.
I haven't played the main quest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The main quest is not as good as all the side quests.
Yeah. So on my second playthrough is when I played through the main story. First time it was just like I got to Whiterun and then just ran around. Mm-hmm. It was like I went up on and, you know, got my ability to shout at people, and then I started.
I did shout at some people.
Yeah. But
you kids!
The second time I played, I actually played through the storyline, and it's actually relatively short if you just go straight through the storyline.
Really,
but that's not how you play Skyrim.
Yeah, it's kind of funny how incredibly short the storyline is.
Yeah.
They know.
You stretch it out over like 400 hours, you know, of playing a bunch of side quests, or you could have a 20-hour experience and just get the, you know, main quest.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I mean, like, I like the... wasn't the Brotherhood, because those were the werewolf people. What was the one where you, the Nightingales? That was the Assassins?
No, the Assassins is the Brotherhood.
Oh, I thought the Brotherhood was the wolf people.
No, that was the Companions.
Companions.
Mm-hmm.
I
never became a wolf or a vampire, I don't think.
Yeah.
I don't know that you could do
that. You can become a vampire, yeah. The Dawnguard expansion was...
About the game yet.
Yeah, no, Dawnguard was an expansion. You could actually become a vampire, I believe, in the original.
Yeah, in the original, you could.
It just sucked being a vampire. Like, if you got bit by a vampire randomly, it would slowly, like, weaken you over time, and then all of a sudden, like, sunlight would just start hurting you, and you're like, crap. And then you had to, like, plan up all of your traveling based on what time of day it is. Uh-huh. It's really annoying, but you get more powers.
And then I think it was in Dawnguard, you could become a werewolf, and that was much more advantageous because it would be just every once in a while you would turn into a werewolf and you would be like stronger, faster, you could travel so fast, you know. It's just like
the werewolf was sometimes a little easier. I think there might have been a point in Dawnguard where you could like block out the sun as a vampire so that you could wander around all the time, I think. I don't remember. There was some kind of extra story quest line because of the, you know, expansion. Anyway, announcements?
Yeah. I don't think we have any.
We just did a bunch of announcements.
We're doing another Spartan race in October, so...
Well, yeah, join up if you... Yeah.
I am, yeah.
And John and Connor.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Connor's coming.
Connor's coming.
Yeah.
He and John have agreed to wear booty shorts.
Ah, yes.
The booty shorts.
I'm going to miss that.
You're going to miss the booty shorts.
Ah, they're
going to
crawl through the wire.
Crawl through the mud.
The wire crawl the mud with the booty shorts.
Scrub cast booty shorts.
Uh-huh.
That's going to be a sight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if anybody else, Clint and I can't make it, unfortunately. We got a different vacation happening that weekend. But if anybody wants to meet up in Asheville and join the Midwest Scrub of Spartan team, I guess let us know. I don't know if would we have to like specifically invite them to the team, like as far as the Spartan team.
I think we would have to invite them to the team to actually be able to run together.
Yeah.
Otherwise they'll schedule you for different times.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And we might be able to get you a discount.
Yeah, there's some kind of
there's some
like
kind of way that we can get you.
Yeah,
a discount.
So I think if you something about an ice before cream you social. Signed up, yeah. So before you, so yeah, let us
seriously,
know.
Seriously, like I think it is something about an ice cream social.
It might
social.
Be called Ice Cream Social. I don't know, but the point is, before you probably let us know before you actually do the sign up, because I think there's like a share code or something you can give people that when you sign up, it applies some kind of 10% discount or something, whatever. So yeah,
because Spartan races are not cheap.
They're not. Yeah. Correct. If you want to join, before you sign up or do anything, let us know so we can try to get you a discount and for sure get you on the team regardless. So, yep. But also maybe don't talk to me because I'm not actually going to the race. I say
just post it on the Discord somewhere. You know?
Yeah.
Somewhere.
Just somewhere.
Just, you know.
Pick one of the random rooms or whatever. And
Like the X-Wing 2.5.
Right, just
that
start
one
talk.
Would be fine.
Start talking over there.
I will definitely see it if you post it.
Yeah, sure you will.
Put it in Spurts Ball. You know, we totally check there.
I actually don't have Spurts Ball muted, unlike the 2.5.
I definitely do have Spurts Ball muted.
I have everything muted, but that's just me. I mute everything on Discord.
I largely have just culled most of the Discords that I'm on. So
yeah, that works too.
Yeah,
I'm about to delete another one as well.
Mm-hmm.
I need to go through and delete a bunch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I've excised a lot of X-Wing ones. That's basically, I mean, and that's majority of what mine were anyway. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Excised X-Wing. Yep. Sounds about right.
All
so,
right.
So, yeah, that's all
well,
I got.
Follow us on our socials. Like, comment, subscribe, and
ding
those
ding
bells.
Those bells. Ring,
and
ring,
follow
ring,
us around.
Ding the bells.
You know.
Don't excise us on Discord.
Don't excise us on Discord.
Or do you
or
know?
Do, yeah.
Or
I mean,
or go back and forth. You know, do a Mark Myers. We will lovingly accept
maybe
you regardless.
I love you, maybe I don't. I don't know.
Who knows if he's in the Discord right now? Maybe he is. Maybe he isn't.
I think
it
not. But you know,
he joins for a couple weeks here and there, and then disappears for a couple months, and then comes back for a week, and then disappears. We love you, Mark.
He doesn't listen to this podcast. He'll never know that you love him.
We'll never hear that. Yeah, that's okay, though.
Oh, he knows. He knows.
Right on.
Okay.
Okay, well,
bye-bye.
Bye, y'all.
Bye-bye.
Hello, bye, y'all.
Excuse me. He's back.
Are you brainless?
No, not really, no.
The ability to speak does not make you intelligent.
Don't do that again. Many Gungans will be killed.
Ah, your support is well seen.